Kenny Hall. I think that might be called the Ohio Waltz. Wine Kenny Hall, old dear friend. Well, move it on up into our time a little bit closer. Mississippi Freedom Summer 1963, the Civil Rights Movement. Well, the dogs had already been turned loose in Birmingham, Alabama. Lives had already been lost. A nonviolent movement, Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee, SNCC, were organizing in the Freedom Summer. You know, the word went out to people coming in there to work in the voter registration, don't drive cars with out-of-state plates, because it's a sure sign you're going to get arrested by the highway patrol and thrown in jail, or worse. It's about 10 years ago, I was in playing through Louisiana. I wanted to go to Mississippi and visit Meridian, the home, the memorial to Jimmy Rogers, the Mississippi Blue Yodeler. I had a rented car, so it had out-of-state plates, and I drove like hell. I mean, I wanted to get in and out as quick as I could, just my paranoia, and I was pulled over for speeding by a Mississippi highway patrolman, and he was black. And I said to myself as he wrote the ticket, well, I guess we won. Listen, that was a singing movement. It still is a singing movement. And it can speak for itself. Here's the, from jail, here's the Freedom Singers. Freedom Singers. Well, move it up a little bit further, you know. The civil rights movement never stopped, but it became increasingly more militant. And generally, white organizers, white people, were invited to leave the movement as it became more and more militant. But the Vietnam War was right there and absorbed that organizing strength, absorbed that organizing skill in the anti-war movement. David Harris was one of the first to turn in his draft card, and as a consequence became a political prisoner. Political prisoner, you've got to remember that the best guarantee we have of justice under law is for there to be people who have the courage to break what they conceive to be unjust laws, to bring them before the courts, before the light of public scrutiny. David Harris's wife wrote this letter. David and I have been married 1 year. We knew when we got married that sometime he would be spending a long time in prison. He had sent his draft cards back to the government 2 years before with a note explaining that he intended to live his own life in a way which could affirm the lives of others, not destroy them. And that meant total non-cooperation with the military. He's been organizing resistance ever since. So David got 3 years. Some of the brothers have gotten 5, some 10, some 6 months, some a year. There are about 10,000 of them now, a number small but daily growing. Brothers and sisters, you and I must, with our lives, build a world where we are as sure of the perpetuation and flowering of life as we are of the triumph of spring. The letter signed, Joan Baez Harris. So Joan Baez's song for David, If I Knew. Baez. Well, now, up right up here into our time, Judy Berry organizing the Redwood Freedom Summer, the effort to save the old-growth redwoods. Now, she was a hell of an organizer and a great class-conscious woman, knew exactly what she was doing. Her car was blown up, and this is just past the 10th anniversary of that. Nobody knows who blew it up. The FBI hadn't spent a nickel trying to find out. Nope, they picked her up with her pelvis shattered out of the wreckage and arrested her. She was arrested. Police were in the hospital. You couldn't get in to see her, you see, because they arrested her for transporting explosives. Ha! She was teaching nonviolence, my friends. Well, Judy's passed away from breast cancer not too long ago. When they took her car, they took everything in it. Judy was learning how to play the fiddle, and they kept her fiddle. She never able to get the fiddle back. So, and this is pure Judy Berry. I don't know, many of you heard Judy Berry speak, and she was a powerful speaker, but I bet you've never heard Judy Berry sing. So let's listen to some of Judy Berry singing, "The FBI Stole My Fiddle."
They said the reason they knew that the bomb was in the back seat where we could have seen it rather than hidden under my seat, as it actually was, is because they said that I had loaded my guitar case right on top of the bomb, and they said the guitar and the fiddle were both, like, right in the vicinity of the explosion. So lo and behold, we get back the pictures from the Oakland police, and here's the guitar. Now, it's certainly damaged, but not as if a bomb had been on top of it, and there's the fiddle virtually intact, okay? And I want you to know, I've actually seen these things in the course of the case. We get to, like, look at the evidence, and it's actually really kind of sad. This was my childhood violin, and I opened the case, and it only had two cracks up the F-holes, and that's all, whereas the guitar, which was in a cheap case, was kind of shattered. But at any rate, so in light of this, realizing that they took this fiddle, we wrote this song. Well, I was driving out of Oakland on a tour for Redwood Summer when a bomb went off inside my car. It was a major bummer. They blamed me for the bomb that almost took my life. But there's one last thing that they did, one last twist of the knife. The FBI stole my fiddle.
They stole my fiddle.
The FBI stole my fiddle.
The FBI stole my fiddle.
The FBI stole my fiddle. And I want my fiddle back. The next day in the papers, although it made no sense, was a picture of my fiddle, and they called it evidence. They took away my Birkenstocks, they took away my car. But when they took my fiddle, well, you know they went too far. The FBI stole my fiddle.
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 William Sessions stole my fiddle. And I want my fiddle back. My strings was fuses, my bow it was a light, and down inside my fiddle hole I stashed my dynamite. So when I stroke my fuse strings with my fiddle bow, you better run for cover, cause this fiddle might just blow. The FBI stole my fiddle.
The FBI stole my fiddle.
The FBI stole my fiddle.
Stole my
J. Edgar Hoover stole my fiddle. And I want my.
Hey, Judy Berry, one of my true heroines, one of my true heroines. Well, we're coming down, coasting right into today now on this program about political prisoners. It was Pine Ridge, a reservation, a spiritual camp at Jumping Bull's place to protect it. The law came onto the reservation ostensibly to try to find some stolen cowboy boots. Well, there was a lot of shooting and some people got killed, a couple of FBI agents. But then the people on the reservation knew that within their memory, over 300 Native Americans had been killed on or around that reservation. Leonard Peltier was framed up on that, and it's the same phony, dumb trial that you've heard about through all of these. And, you know, if you don't take my word for it, I encourage you to go to the library, go to your internet. It's got to be good for something. And look up these trials. Look up these things and read them yourself and see what I mean. There's Leonard Peltier in prison. June 26, 1975. Yes, he's been in prison ever since. He couldn't record in prison. So here's his friend, Harvey Yarden, giving you the words from Leonard Peltier in prison.
I realize that I can be moody. It's about all you have left here in prison. Your moods, they gyrate wildly, uncontrollably, and especially on those days when the endless privations and frustrations of prison life build and build inside me. And yet more and more, in recent years, I feel detached from it all and strangely free, even within these enclosing walls and razor wire. And I credit that to Sundance, a man who has Sundanced as a special compact with pain, and he'll be hard to break. Sundance makes me strong. Sundance takes place inside of me, not outside of me. To give your flesh to the great mystery is to give your life. And what you have given, you can no longer lose. Sundance is our religion, our strength. Sundance enables us to resist pain, torture, trial, anything that they would do to the people. That's why in the past when the enemy tortured us with knives or bullwhips, even with fire, we were able to withstand that pain. that strength still exists among us. When you give your flesh, when you're pierced in Sundance, you feel every bit of that pain, every iota, not one jot is spared you. And yet there's a separation that takes place, a detachment, a greater mind that you become a part of, so that you both feel the pain and see yourself feeling the pain. And then somehow that pain becomes contained, becomes limited. And as the white-hot sun pours molten through your eyes into your inner being, and as the wooden skewers implanted in your chest pull and yank and rip at your screaming flesh, at that moment, a strange and a powerful lucidity gradually expands within your mind. The pain explodes into a bright white light, into revelation. And at that moment, you are given a wordless vision of what it is to be in touch with all being and all beings. And for the rest of your life, once you've made that sacrifice of your flesh to the great mystery, you enter an infinite realm beyond reach of all pain. There in that place, in that great reality, beyond this little reality, even the most pitiable prisoner can find peace. So Sundance made even prison life sustainable for me. I am undestroyed. My life is my Sundance.
Leonard Belt here. Well, here we are today. We're at the end of our program. I put this program together about political prisoners from Joe Hill to Leonard Peltier because I want to let you people know, I want to let people know, especially young people who are willing to engage in civil disobedience and understand that they must endure the consequences of their acts, as we all must. Do it. Do it in good conscience, and always remember that you are keeping very good company.
Ain't you got a right? Ain't you got a right? Ain't you got a right to the tree of life? So rocky is the road, so dangerous is the journey, ain't you got a right to the tree of life? All of my trials, they're gonna soon be over, ain't you got a right to the tree of life?
Ain't you got a right?
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 Ain't you got a right
to the tree of life?
Sweeter,
ain't you got a right?
So sweet someday,
ain't you got a right?
Ain't you got a right?
Ain't you got a right
to the tree of life? I'm gonna tell all my brothers,
ain't you got a right?
I'm gonna tell all my sisters,
ain't you got a right?
I'm gonna tell it to the world.
Ride
to the tree of life.
Ain't you got a ride?
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 Ain't you got a ride
to the tree of life? ride. Ain't you got a ride?
Ain't you got a ride?
Well, that's been this program on political prisoners. I sure appreciate you listening. This is Utah Phillips, and you've been listening to Loafer's Glory, the hobo jungle of the mind.
I speak from Pennsylvania's death row, a bright, shining, highly mechanized hell. In this place, a dark temple to fear, an altar of political ambition. Death is a campaign poster, a stepping stone to public office. In this space and time, in this dark hour, how many of us are not on death row? From death row, this is Mumia Abu-Jamal.
Loafer's Glory is produced at radio station KVMR-FM in Nevada City and on the web at kvmr.org with funding from the Haitian World Fund of the Tides Foundation, National Hobo Association, Box 706, Nisswa, Minnesota, and with a grant from the KVMR National Program Production Fund through the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. You can write Utah Phillips at Box 1235, Nevada City, California, zip code 95959, or call 800-989-3825 for a complimentary newsletter catalog. The program is distributed by the Pacifica Radio Network and No Guff Records, Cuddy NGO.
Kenny Hall. I think that might be called the Ohio Waltz. Wine Kenny Hall, old dear friend. Well, move it on up into our time a little bit closer. Mississippi Freedom Summer, 1963, the Civil Rights Movement. Well, the dogs had already been turned loose in Birmingham, Alabama. Lives had already been lost. A nonviolent movement, Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee, SNCC, we're organizing in the Freedom Summer. You know, the word went out to people coming in there to work in the voter registration, don't drive cars with out-of-state plates, because it's a sure sign you're going to get arrested by the highway patrol and thrown in jail, or worse. It's about 10 years ago, I was in playing through Louisiana. I wanted to go to Mississippi and visit Meridian, the home, the memorial to Jimmy Rogers, the Mississippi Blue Yodeler. I had a rented car, so it had out-of-state plates. And I drove like hell. I mean, I wanted to get in and out as quick as I could, just my paranoia. And I was pulled over for speeding by a Mississippi Highway Patrolman, and he was black. And I said to myself as he wrote the ticket, well, I guess we won. Listen, that was a singing movement. It still is a singing movement. And it can speak for itself. Here's the, from jail, here's the Freedom Singers.
Yeah.
Freedom Singers. Well, move it up a little bit further, you know. The civil rights movement never stopped, but it became increasingly more militant. And generally, white organizers, white people, were invited to leave the movement as it became more and more militant. But the Vietnam War was right there and absorbed that organizing strength, absorbed that organizing skill in the anti-war movement. David Harris was one of the first to turn in his draft card, and as a consequence became a political prisoner. Political prisoner, you've got to remember that the best guarantee we have of justice under law is for there to be people who have the courage to break what they conceive to be unjust laws, to bring them before the courts, before the light of public scrutiny. David Harris's wife wrote this letter. "David and I have been married 1 year. We knew when we got married that sometime he would be spending a long time in prison. He had sent his draft cards back to the government 2 years before with a note explaining that he intended to live his own life in a way which could affirm the lives of others, not destroy them. And that meant total non-cooperation with the military. He's been organizing resistance ever since." So David got 3 years. Some of the brothers have gotten 5, some 10, some 6 months, some a year. There are about 10,000 of them now, a number small but daily growing. Brothers and sisters, you and I must, with our lives, build a world where we are as sure of the perpetuation and flowering of life as we are of the triumph of spring. The letter signed, Joan Baez Harris. This is Joan Baez's song for David, "If I Knew." Well, now, right up here into our time, Judy Berry organizing the Redwood Freedom Summer, the effort to save the old-growth redwoods. Now, she was a hell of an organizer and a great class-conscious woman, knew exactly what she was doing. Her car was blown up. This is just past the 10th anniversary of that. Nobody knows who blew it up. The FBI hadn't spent a nickel trying to find out. Nope, they picked her up with her pelvis shattered out of the wreckage and arrested her. She was arrested. Police were in the hospital. You couldn't get in to see her, you see, because they arrested her for transporting explosives. She was teaching nonviolence, my friends. Well, Judy's passed away from breast cancer not too long ago. When they took her car, they took everything in it. Judy was learning how to play the fiddle, and they kept her fiddle. She never able to get the fiddle back. So, and this is pure Judy Berry. I don't know, many of you heard Judy Berry speak, and she was a powerful speaker, but I bet you've never heard Judy Berry sing. So let's listen to some of Judy Berry singing, "The FBI Stole My Fiddle."
They said the reason they knew that the bomb was in the back seat where we could have seen it rather than hidden under my seat, as it actually was, is because they said that I had loaded my guitar case right on top of the bomb, and they said the guitar and the fiddle were both like right in the vicinity of the explosion. So lo and behold, we get back the pictures from the Oakland police, and here's the guitar. Now, it's certainly damaged, but not as if a bomb had been on top of it, and there's the fiddle. Virtually intact, okay? And I want you to know, I've actually seen these things in the course of the case. We get to, like, look at the evidence, and it's actually really kind of sad. This was my childhood violin, and I opened the case, and it only had two cracks up the F-holes, and that's all, whereas the guitar, which was in a cheap case, was kind of shattered. But at any rate, so in light of this, realizing that they took this fiddle, we wrote this song.
I was driving out of Oakland on a tour for Redwood Summer when a bomb went off inside my car. It was a major bummer. They blamed me for the bomb that almost took my life. But there's one last thing that they did, one last twist of the knife. The FBI stole my fiddle.
They stole my fiddle.
The FBI stole my fiddle.
The FBI stole my fiddle.
The FBI stole my fiddle. Next day in the papers, although it made no sense, was a picture of my fiddle and they called it evidence. They took away my Birkenstocks, they took away my car. But when they took my fiddle, well, you know they went too far. The FBI stole my fiddle.
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 William Sessions stole my fiddle. And I want my fiddle back. They said my strings was fuses, my bow it was a lie. And down inside my fiddle hole I stashed my dynamite. So when I stroke my fuse strings with my fiddle bow, you better run for cover, cause this fiddle might just blow. The FBI stole my fiddle.
The FBI stole my fiddle.
The FBI stole my fiddle.
Hey, Judy Berry, one of my true heroines, one of my true heroines. Well, we're coming down, coasting right into today now on this program about political prisoners. It was Pine Ridge, a reservation, a spiritual camp at Jumping Bull's place to protect it. The law came onto the reservation ostensibly to try to find some stolen cowboy boots. Well, there was a lot of shooting and some people got killed, a couple of FBI agents. But then the people on the reservation knew that within their memory, over 300 Native Americans had been killed on or around that reservation. Leonard Peltier was framed up on that, and it's the same phony, dumb trial that you've heard about through all of these. And, you know, if you don't take my word for it, I encourage you to go to the library, go to your internet. It's got to be good for something. And look up these trials. Look up these things and read them yourself and see what I mean. There's Leonard Peltier in prison. He was, well, it's, I guess it was 1975, June 26, 1975. Yes, he's been in prison ever since. He couldn't record in prison. So here's his friend, Harvey Yarden, giving you the words from Leonard Peltier in prison.
I realize that I can be moody. It's about all you have left here in prison. Your moods, they gyrate wildly, uncontrollably, and especially on those days when the endless privations and frustrations of prison life build and build inside me. And yet more and more, in recent years, I feel detached from it all and strangely free, even within these enclosing walls and razor wire. And I credit that to Sundance, a man who has Sundanced as a special compact with pain, and he'll be hard to break. Sundance makes me strong. Sundance takes place inside of me, not outside of me. To give your flesh to the great mystery is to give your life. And what you have given, you can no longer lose. Sundance is our religion, our strength. Sundance enables us to resist pain, torture, trial, anything that they would do to the people. That's why in the past, when the enemy tortured us with knives or bullwhips, even with fire, we were able to withstand that pain. And that strength still exists among us. When you give your flesh, when you're pierced in Sundance, you feel every bit of that pain, every iota, not one jot is spared you. And yet there's a separation that takes place, a detachment, a greater mind that you become a part of, so that you both feel the pain and see yourself feeling the pain. And then somehow that pain becomes contained, becomes limited. And as the white-hot sun pours molten through your eyes into your inner being, and as the wooden skewers implanted in your chest pull and yank and rip at your screaming flesh, at that moment, a strange and a powerful lucidity gradually expands within your mind. The pain explodes into a bright white light, into revelation. At that moment, you are given a wordless vision of what it is to be in touch with all being and all beings. And for the rest of your life, once you've made that sacrifice of your flesh to the great mystery, you enter an infinite realm beyond reach of all pain. There in that place, in that great reality beyond this little reality, even the most pitiable prisoner can find peace. So Sundance made even prison life sustainable for me. I am undestroyed. My life is my Sundance.
Leonard Peltier. Well, here we are today. We're at the end of our program. I put this program together about political prisoners from Joe Hill to Leonard Peltier because I want to let you people know, I want to let people know, especially young people who are willing to engage in civil disobedience and understand that they must endure the consequences of their acts, as we all must. Do it. Do it in good conscience. And always remember that you are keeping very good company.
Ain't you got a right? Ain't you got a right? Ain't you got a right to the tree of life? So rocky is the road.
Ain't you got a right?
So dangerous is the journey.
Ain't you got a right?
Ain't you got a right? To the tree of life. All of my trials,
ain't you got a ride?
They're gonna soon be over.
Ain't you got a ride?
Ain't you got a ride?
Ain't you got a ride?
To the tree of life.
Ain't you got a ride?
Ain't you got a ride?
Ain't you got a ride?
Ain't got a right to the tree of life. Sweeter,
ain't you got a ride?
So sweet someday,
ain't you got a ride?
Ain't you got a ride?
Ain't you got a ride
to the tree of life? I'm gonna tell all my brothers,
ain't you got a ride?
I'm gonna tell all my sisters,
ain't you got a ride?
I'm gonna tell it to the world. To the tree of life.
Ain't you got a ride?
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 To the tree of life. Ain't you got a ride?
Ain't you got a ride?
Well, that's been this program on political prisoners. I sure appreciate you listening. This is Utah Phillips, and you've been listening to Loafer's Glory, the hobo jungle of the mind.
I speak from Pennsylvania's death row, a bright, shining, highly mechanized hell. In this place, a dark temple to fear, an altar of political ambition. Death is a campaign poster, a stepping stone to public office. In this space and time, in this dark hour, how many of us are not on death row? From death row, this is Mumia Abu-Jamal.